Well, if you listened to that Monday Night Football game tonight, you are a dedicated curmudgeon. You have been contaminated. You likely bet on the game, or you're some old school Giants fan, or maybe you're a 49er fan from back in the day. But we are here hanging out, a mini version of Late Night on WEEI. We'll take a lot of phone calls following the Giants comeback win against the 49ers in the Monday night game, which I used to do around the NFL show for a number of years, and we used to mock games like this, right? Why not? I mean, you're supposed to mock. These are two feeble teams, two pushovers. And we would say, when these teams get together, you throw out the records, and the reason you throw out the records is because if you looked at the records, you would not want to watch. No, they're terrible, absolutely terrible. But in the end, the Giants win on a come-from-behind drive by Elijah Manning, who was the beneficiary of a couple of penalties. It was the perfect ending to this particular game. So there's not a lot to discuss. The point of this, there's not a lot to discuss in the Monday Night Football game, but there is something that came out of the broadcast. If you were listening at halftime, you heard the tradition. Not only does Tom Brady spend Monday morning on the Kirk and Callahan show, but every Monday night, he chit-chats with his BFF, Jim Gray. They are side by side. They're two best friends, relaxed, composed, unflustered. It's a softball on the radio. And so sure enough, it took place, the weekly chit chat. If you missed it, and maybe you're late to the party here, that's a bad job by you. But I'll give you the part that stood out to me. There's a couple of things that stood out. I mean, there wasn't too much there, but there's a couple of things that stood out. Number one, Tom Brady was informed by Jim Gray. It wasn't really a question. It's one of those times where you do an interview, and it's not really a question. It's more of a statement. There's no real question there. It's just kind of a declaration. You know what I'm saying? So Jim Gray informed Tom Brady that some people might think that he's slipping, which is a politically correct way of saying there's a lot of people who are pointing fingers and celebrating that the Patriots got their doors blown off by the Tennessee Titans 34-10. So Brady to Jim Gray on the Westwood One feed, his response, he said, quote, "Everything is different from one year to the next," which is what he said a number of times when asked to compare this Patriot team to past Patriot teams. Brady continued. He said, "I think you keep working at it the same way. Those things haven't changed for me." Brady then continued the answer. He said, "Some of my statistics have changed." That is accurate. Brady then said, "But I think you have to look at it. I feel good out there," he said. "Do I want to play better? I absolutely want to play better." All right, so let's discuss. And there's been a lot of angst, a lot of conversation, maybe not so much locally, but the national guys are having a field day with Tom Brady. So is this the end? Are we looking at the beginning of the end of Tom Brady as a headline, top of the fold, dominant force in the NFL? Now, my response to that would be it would be premature. I think that's the obvious response, first of all, that it is premature. But to expand on that, a couple of thoughts. A, you know, Tom Brady has been choppy this season. That is being kind that he has been choppy. And if you look at the micro versus the macro, right? If you compare Tom Brady this year to Tom Brady of the past, this is not the MVP vintage. Kind of obvious saying that. But over the past three games, while it is true Tom Brady does not have an interception the past three games, he has been very ordinary. And the kind of performance that you would expect from someone like Alex Smith of the Redskins, the numbers that he's put up, but Brady's got one passing touchdown, no interceptions, and a quarterback rating of 84.5. That is by definition, that is a rough patch, shall we say. And if you look at this even further and you say, well, is this a byproduct of the Patriots around Tom Brady not being as good as they were last year? Well, he's got his weapons back, and he's got more weapons although not all of his weapons. I mean, Gronk's not playing. We'll have more on that. More on that later. But the worst of Tom Brady, the last 3 years, I saw the stat going around, the two worst offensive performances with Belichick and Brady together the last 3 years have been against disciples of Bill Belichick. The only two times that the Patriots have been held to 10 points or fewer since the 2016 season happened against a couple of old Patriot assistant coaches. Matt Patricia back in week three, the disaster in the Motor City when the Patriots just didn't compete in that game. And then the game on Sunday against Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans. So that brings up the question, is it a case of Tom Brady being old, or is it just a case of Tom Brady in those two games anyway, facing teams that knew how to break him down and tear him apart? And if you look at the Patriots, the overall body of work, right, and you microanalyze, which is what we all do, there's nothing good to come out of the game on Sunday. They sucked at a time you cannot suck, which is pretty much the entire day against the Tennessee Titans. But in the other game the Patriots lost, outside of the game against the Lions and the Titans, go back to week two with Jacksonville, and that was a game where there was really the Patriots defense that could not contain the vertical passing game of Blake Bortles. I mean, remember how it was ridiculous. It looked like Jacksonville was going to go and they were going to go on their way and win 15 games this year, and now they look like they're not even a playoff team after that game. Ever since then, they've fallen apart. But on that day, it was more of an issue of the Patriots defensively not being able to stop Jacksonville. But in that spot, the other loss, the Patriots scored 20 points. And then you look at the middle and you say, well, who is the real Tom Brady? Is it the guy that was navigating a Patriot offense to put up 40 points against Kansas City or 38 points against the Patriots? You know, the 43-38, back-to-back, the Patriots, actually three consecutive games or four consecutive games, the Patriots, they were scoring as many as anybody else in the NFL. They were having the kind of offense that is reminiscent of the Rams, the Chiefs, the Saints in that middle part of the season. And now you look at this game against the Titans, and it was just like the table fell apart, and the Patriots are 2-3 on the road. Now, the second thing here, second observation about Tom Brady is, you know, the Patriots have a bunch of lightweights still to play. They don't play anybody this week. They had a chance to relax and kind of hang out, enjoy themselves on the bye week. But then you look ahead, and you've still got two games left with the Jets, who blow, the Buffalo Bills, who are no good, And they have to come in. That's not till week 16 in Foxborough. But the Bills come in. You get the Miami Dolphins in Miami. That's actually a game the Patriots traditionally have not played that well in Miami when they go there in December. We'll see if this year is different because the Dolphins stink, as they usually do. So if Tom Brady struggles against those teams, if he's bad in those particular games, then we can revisit this, right? We can look back at this and say, well, wait, this is the beginning of something. But again, I keep going back to that word premature. Like, I recall when Peyton Manning went from very effective to terrible. There was a point in his career, a point of demarcation in Peyton Manning's career where the bottom fell out and he never got it back. And it was disgusted. I mean, after that particular, he became noodle arm Peyton Manning. And it happened in that final, the next to last year, actually, it was week, I think it was the 2009 season. I'm not to go back. I have to go back and look at the exact week. But there was one week in particular, I think it was against the Chargers, where Peyton Manning just, he had been infected by whatever it was, and he couldn't get it done. I guess the Geyer Clinic stopped supplying him with the proper goodies, and he just, that was it. It was over. So, you know, the last three games have not been great for Tom Brady statistically, and so you want to see what happens here, but you still, the real acid test is going to be in the postseason. The Patriots are going to be in the postseason again, We know that because of the weaklings that they play in the AFC East. And so assuming that they play the home game, we think they'll play the home game. They could even have the number two seed still, because if they beat the Steelers, the Patriots will end up, barring some kind of other unforeseen turn of events, they will be able to get the number two seed. So, but there's also a possibility they play on the wild card or divisional round weekend of the playoffs. They might have to play right away is what I'm trying to say. All right, they might have to play right away. And so we'll get a good read. But I wanted to point out, if you look at the next-gen statistics, if you analyze the next-gen stats for Tom Brady, which is paralysis by analysis, but it kind of tells you what you already knew. Like, I was looking at it, and they have these great charts that are available. I don't know if you've seen this stuff. Have you checked this stuff out? But they have the breakdown, and it breaks down each quarterback into 12 boxes on the field. And I know we're on radio, so I can't get into too much detail here, but if you look at Tom Brady's graph, if you look at the 12 boxes, Tom Brady is better than average out of the 12 possible areas to throw the football. He is better than average in three of the areas. He's above average behind the line of scrimmage when they throw those little dump-off passes to the left. Also, intermediate passes to the left, Brady's done very well. He's above average, above the league average. And when they throw deep to the right side, passes that have gone 20 or more yards down the field, Tom Brady is above average. So those are the three areas he's above average. He is worse than average in one area, and that is throwing it right over the defense in the middle of the field. Brady is, I don't think he's completed a pass over the middle, at least not according to the next-gen stats. But then if you look at the rest of it, Brady has been pedestrian. He's been average in eight of the boxes that are available. And he's middle of the road is what he's been. You know, he's just a generic quarterback, eight of the 12 areas you can throw the football. You know, so that's what you got. Is it going to change much? Is it going to get better? It's pretty unspectacular. There have been moments where Brady has been better than that, but for the most part, it's been unspectacular with Tom Brady this year, certainly compared to the MVP year. His numbers, they're kind of average numbers, especially when you look at the video game stats that are being put up around the NFL this season. It's insanity, the passing numbers that are flying in the air everywhere. It's like these guys have all been programmed. They're like androids, and they're computerized and just automatic. 3-4 touchdowns a game with Patrick Mahomes right now, and his dominance and how good he's been in Kansas City, and he's the favorite for the MVP award. Anyway, we'll take your phone calls. If you would like to be part here, it is a condensed version of Late Night, which is both a blessing and a curse, right? It's a blessing because, hey, we're here. It's a curse because, you know, you want more gas baggery. There's a limited gas baggery here late at night. The number, it's a John Anderson production. I want you to know we had to do a tightrope walk. There was a lot of drama that no one will know about if I hadn't brought it up here, but John did a great job.
No, Wayne and Southie actually heard the drama.
Oh, he heard that?
Actually, you know who didn't hear the drama was you, because I was doing some technological mumbo-jumbo over here, and you couldn't hear the programming anymore, but everyone listening heard what was going on over here.
Oh, they heard the mumbo-jumbo?
Yeah,
I was sitting in silence here. I had, like, it was very unspectacular what I was doing here. I was sitting here just waiting for my cue. But anyway, all right, no, we're on the air. That's all that matters, John. We're here. That's all that matters. 617-779-7937. If you'd like to be part, 617-779-7937. We'll get more into Tom Brady and what he had to say tonight to Jim Gray. And also, in addition to that, the Gronkowski question. Rob Gronkowski, who did not play, they say he's getting better. He'll be back soon, but the future of Rob Gronkowski up for debate. We'll get to that as well, and we will do it next. So the debate, the great debate, you can have a couple of really good games, and then if you have one unremarkable, ordinary, commonplace performance, and you're over the age of 40, you know what happens. You bang the drum a little bit louder, and the questions get raised and asked. There is no exit strategy. There is no backup plan here for the Patriots. So we were kicking around the story of Tom Brady. Now, he was on with Jim Gray, his buddy, at halftime. Now, I heard it at halftime. I don't think it was before the game. They had it on the halftime show, which you heard here when we carried the Monday night game, the Giants and the 49ers. But Jim Gray essentially told Tom Brady that some people think you might be slipping. And Brady said, you know, every year is different, you know, different from one year to the next. He says, I think you keep working at it the same way. Those things haven't changed. But he did admit that his statistics have changed. I mean, it's kind of obvious here that his stats, Tom Brady's stats, are mediocre, right? Middling statistics for Tom Brady this year with the Patriots. And he said that, I think you keep working at it the same way. He said he did want to play better. He says, I absolutely want to play better, which is good. Of course he wants to play better because it's, you know, not been good. It's been, even though the Patriots have won a lot of these games, it has not been on the statistical dominance of Tom Brady. He has been kind of a regular guy. He has been a regular guy. So we're kicking that around. Now, my theory is that it's premature. Now, I am never one that's late to the party, and I love to unload. If I thought Tom Brady was completely done, I would be standing on top of the mountain with my bullhorn, shouting and screaming into the bullhorn, he's done, he's done, that's it, he can't get it done anymore. I'm not there yet. I'm not there with Brady. And the reason I'm not there is the Patriots are going to have a home game, barring a loss to the Jets and a loss to the Bills and some unforeseen turn of events. As it stands right now, they're going to have a home game in the postseason, another home game, at least one, and it's conceivable the only time they have to go on the road is if they were to go to Arrowhead Stadium in the AFC Championship game, because they have a game with the Steelers. The Patriots win that game in Pittsburgh, then they will end up with the number two seed. Worst case scenario, and the Chiefs still have to play the Rams in Mexico City next Monday night, and then the following week after, or a couple weeks after that, they have to play the Chargers. So the question becomes, is it, you know, which Tom Brady is it? The Tom Brady who, if you look at his touchdown totals in the middle part of the season, he had 3 touchdowns against the Dolphins. He had 3 against the Colts, a couple, or 1 touchdown against Kansas City, but he also was able to navigate, you know, scored 43 points, and he had 1 touchdown pass in that game. You don't want to get too caught up in the stats, but we're kicking this around here. Where are you getting the pulse of the people on Tom Brady as he made his latest comments on Monday Night Football with Jim Gray? We'll take your phone calls. If you would like to be part a John Anderson production, and he is standing by, anxiously awaiting your phone calls, at 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. To the phones we go, and let's say hello. Let's see, where should we go? Let's go to Paul, who's in Westfield, and Paul is up here on Late Night on WEI. What's going on, Paul?
Well, Big Ben, I'll tell you what's going on. You said it might be a bit premature, which is fair and balanced. Is that fair enough?
Well, I don't want to be fair and balanced because that's boring. The better story is if this is the end of Tom Brady. That would be the more dramatic, that he's no longer Tom Terrific, he's Tom Average. You know, that would be the better story, but I'm not there yet. Because I just saw him a few weeks ago throw 3 touchdowns against the Chicago Bears, and the Patriots looked fine in that game. They put 38 points up in that game.
Yes, sir. And to those who say he is done, I would say one word is silence, and follow it up with the following facts. That was the worst game we've seen them play probably since 03. That's probably the best game Tennessee ever played. Gilmore showed up, probably hungover. He got Josh Gordon's weed, who had the dropsy. So we're giving up touchdowns. Brady was getting rushed right up the middle with the 3-man, and it was working, and he wasn't getting to the side. Edelman was getting beat up at the line of scrimmage. It was though we couldn't buy anything to go right for more than 2 or 3 sequences. It was just a crud game, but it's one loss and a one game, not the entire body of work for the year. Fair enough.
So I want to just be sure. You're going deep state. Weed, you think the weed played a factor, Paul? You think that, that possibly weed played a factor in that performance?
Well, if you think of it proverbially speaking in an analogous manner, did you ever see Gilmore look that bad and that slow?
Well, I didn't watch him in Buffalo. Maybe he sucked with the Bills. I don't know.
Yes,
with the
sir.
Patriots, he hasn't been that bad. Yeah, of course. With the Patriots, he's been good.
Yes, sir. Until that game, he got burned every play, and Josh Gordon couldn't catch the ball. He kept dropping it. So Tom's getting pounded corner to corner, seeing ghosts because he kept getting hit. And let's be honest, 10 minutes into that game, he was watching his front line get dusted up and shooken down. So he didn't feel too confident. That was like a nightmare game for him. Come on. He didn't get hurt. He didn't throw an interception. Let's give him some credit.
How's your poetry going, Paul? Are you still doing that?
Well. The Yankees got spanking. Houston got a boosting. In five, L.A. was through. And for the fourth time in 15 years, the Boston Red Sox are world champs. Woo!
All right. Thank you, Paul.
I just made that up.
I know. On the fly. Didn't sound like you just made it up at all. Not at all. No. Tranquility.
Pre-planned bit.
No, I don't know what you're talking about, John. Well, I don't do contrived, planned out radio bits. No. He might, but I don't.
No, not you.
Of course not.
Never insult.
Just want to point out, John, that he used to call my overnight show at Fox and do poetry and got stolen away by a competing network. How about that?
Wait, that he was poached from your show as a caller?
Yes. He was stolen from me.
That's like some pro style pettiness right there.
If you were to say of all my regular guys, the core guys that have followed me around, my base, right, that follows me wherever I go, of all those people that would go and be stolen away, he would be like the last one I would think would be of value. Not that poetry is not important. Right? There's value in poetry. I don't know how much value there is on sports radio in poetry. You know what I'm saying?
Only if it's a haiku.
Yeah, we like the haiku. The haiku is important. That's true. That is correct. Well, I've not spoken to Wayne in Southie since before the World Series. I don't think I even talked to him during the Red Sox playoff performances when they were on the road to the World Series. Let's go to him right now. Wayne in Southie's on line one. Wayne, what's going on, Wayne?
Mel, I haven't heard from you since, like I said, the playoffs of the Red Sox.
I've been here, Wayne, occasionally, not as much. I was embargoed for the World Series, but I've come back since the World Series. I've been
I was on a couple of times. I was on overnight shoots for the movie, so I didn't have a chance to, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, Wayne, I got to get an update, Wayne. You're a major Hollywood star, Wayne. How's it going? How'd the movie go?
Hollywood star. Stop saying that. I'm an actor. Even when I become a star, I won't be a star, because that ain't how I like living. Wayne B, baby.
So Wayne, now are you done?
Wayne B.
Are you done filming?
I'm talking about my Patriots. Yeah, I'm all wrapped. My scenes are all wrapped.
And you filmed overnight? You did it overnight? That's when they filmed?
Well, we filmed, a couple of scenes we filmed overnight. You know what I mean? There's different things. There's day, there's night scenes. You know what I mean? And there's all kinds in a movie.
So, all right. No. Don't blow. No, wait.
I'm
we have
my Patriots. And
Wayne,
I want to talk to you about my Patriots.
Wayne. We'll get there, Wayne. All right.
Okay.
We got a lot of time, Wayne. I want to know more about this
movie.
You
get excited for the movies now. I'm going to take you. We're going to meet up. I'm going to take you on set and introduce you.
Wayne, I'm excited because I want to see you on the big screen, Wayne. That's what I'm excited about.
Well, go watch Gone Baby Gone or go watch The Departed. I'm in that. I'm in a couple of parts.
No, but
that.
in a new upcoming movie. That's what
You won't see it until next October, so you got a long time to wait.
All right. All right. Look, you're such a veteran actor, Wayne. You don't even want to. This is nothing for me. I do this stuff all the time. All right, let's talk about your Patriots, Wayne.
20 years doing this. Don't forget, I worked in radio. Radio, got me to get myself out of that show. I love radio. Like I was telling that guy Fourier today, he's horrible. I'm sorry. I mean, come on, dude. And even the producer was like, yeah, you're right. He is.
How dare you? How can we help you, Wayne? Well, you want to talk about your Patriots, Wayne, right?
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about my Patriots. All right. I said 13-3. Don't forget that. We're going to win the next six games because a good loss is the best thing for the Patriots because it's going to wake them up. Number three. That was number one. Number two, don't forget the three losses we got. Like you just said, Mala, right? Disciples, coaches, like Rabel. Rabel played for the Patriots for, what, 12 years? And then Dan Pease was, defensive coordinator for how long? Like 7 years? Okay. And then, what, in Detroit, we got beat by Matt Patricia, who was 17 years, called up the plays for Tom Brady. So those games, we got dominated because they knew everything about Brady. You know what I mean? And when you know everything about a quarterback, you know how to get to him. You know what plays to throw at him. Yeah. So we got dominated.
Wayne, what happened in the Jacksonville game, though? Because Jacksonville blows.
We had no wide receivers, Mallow. We had one guy, Dorsett.
It was the defense, though. Remember, though, in that game, Wayne, the defense did not play well in that game.
Yeah, the defense didn't play well in the Tennessee game either. They stunk in that game. Gilmore got cooked, burnt, crisp.
Yeah. No, he was terrible. He was terrible in that game. Now, I said, Wayne, you said 13-3. I said 11-5.
Yep.
I said 11-5.
13-3, and you're sticking by your 11-5, right?
Yeah, I still got a pretty good chance at 11-5. I know you're being optimistic that they're going to win every game.
Listen, this thing with Brady falling off, the Max Kellerman thing, he ain't falling off anywhere. He had a bad game. It is what it is, as he said to Jim Gray. You know what I mean? He didn't think about it. His offensive line was horrendous. He had Karras. He had Waddle. He had all these regular guys were hurt or sick. Something was going through the locker room. I heard Belichick today. He said something was going through the locker room. Trent Brown was hurt, and he wasn't really.
Wait. Listen to me. How many times over the last almost 20 years has Tom Brady had a questionable offensive line and still put up good numbers?
A lot.
Right? That's what I'm saying. It happens. Yeah. It has happened a lot to him. Where he's still, the offensive line's not great, but he still puts up the numbers.
Not there, Mallow. When your guys aren't, you know what I mean? Gordon's over there. Everybody's like, Gordon was dropping the ball. He just rotated his finger the last game. Remember? And he taped both of his fingers together, and he kept throwing. Brady was throwing the ball to him, and he went over and told him, "Don't throw the ball at my hand. Throw it into my body because I can't catch it with my hand because I got my two fingers taped up." So just in case everybody was wondering why Gordon was dropping the ball, it was because Brady was throwing it to him and he couldn't catch it. But when Brady started putting it into his body, he caught all the passes. So we got to wait till that finger gets a little bit better, you know what I mean? And then Gordon will be back to normal. The only thing I don't like is Brady's trying to force the ball to him way too much, Mallow.
Well, this is a danger. Wayne, you ought to be very concerned here because my man Gordon likes to have a good time, and it's the bye week. So you got to keep him.
He is not smoking weed. Let that go. Come on.
No, I'm just saying, Wayne, I'm telling you, these guys, you get a week off, man. You go on vacation somewhere nice. You party a little bit. You got
to
be careful.
He's got to allowing them to do anything after that loss. I think they're going to be practicing for the next 2 weeks.
No, they're on vacation. They got a union, man. They're not allowed to practice for the next 2 weeks, Wayne. They got to go enjoy themselves. They got some time off, a little R&R, a little sunlight.
One week, no 2 weeks.
Well, I know. I'm saying this week, the bulk of this week, and then they'll come back, the early part of next week, Tuesday or I guess Wednesday of next week.
I think Belichick's going to have them back earlier because they need to get some stuff together, plain and simple. Claudia and whatever.
Well, not really. You're playing the Jets. You're playing the Jets after the bye week. That's like an extra bye week.
I know they're bums, but listen. Oh, and I got another prediction for you. Mahomes goes down in Mexico next Monday night. Mark my words. Sue's going after him. Sue's gonna get him. He's gonna get him.
Wayne, did you buy do you have a voodoo doll, Wayne? Do you have a voodoo doll?
No, I'm telling you, I have a feeling that somebody's gonna get him. They're gonna go after him. Because Sue, how Sue is. He never likes that, the guy that's shining. He wants to be the one to bring him down. So him and Donald are gonna be coming after Mahomes.
All right. Well, listen, I saw the turf. I saw a picture of the turf in Azteca Stadium in Mexico, and it does not look good. It's a dump. That place is a dump.
Really?
Yeah, the turf's not up there.
Why are they still playing games in Mexico, Mal? Explain that to me.
It's very simple, Wayne. It's called marketing. They want to sell to the good people of Mexico NFL merchandise. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to cultivate a whole fan base. What?
In Mexico, do they have football, Mal? Is there football teams do they have pro teams in Mexico?
No, they have soccer. That's their sport.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So nobody's ever going to take on to this, football. They're going to stick with their soccer.
If you worked it, I got to let you go, Wayne. You've been on the long. I love you, buddy. I'll be on tomorrow, by the way, Wayne. Back to back and belly to belly. Me and John. Super team here. on late night for the next couple of nights. But no, just, I mean, it's kind of obvious. If you worked at the NFL, if you were in the headquarters of the NFL, you're like, we have to expand our fan base. Now, I don't like these games in, I don't like them in London. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a fan of the games in Mexico, but we know why they're doing it. My question is this, you know, how much merchandise are they actually selling in Mexico? Like, if you did a cost-benefit analysis and analyze the NFL and how much money it costs them to play these games on these barnstorming tours like they're going to get. And I mentioned this on my overnight show, but it bears repeating. There is no way that the NFL thought in their wildest dreams that next week, the biggest game of the year in the NFL, Rams and Kansas City, two teams 9-1, that game was going to be outsourced to Mexico. They assumed that these teams would be maybe good but not great. Kansas City wasn't supposed to be all that great this year with a first-year starting quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, but that game of the year, at least till the next game of the year, is going to be played on a terrible field in Mexico with horrific conditions.
Well, you know what's going to happen is that the immigrant march from Honduras that's on its way up through Mexico, it's going to line up perfectly with next Monday night. NFL's going to get them all tickets, and then next thing you know, Mexico football.
Will they be interviewed by ESPN? Will they have tickets to the game there? They'll be on the sidelines? Salters can interview them, yes?
I mean, I don't see why not. It seems like a pretty good move, especially since the NFL's trying to kind of... It seems like they're quietly against Trump, but just not wanting to publicly provoke him, I suppose. But that would be the ultimate, like, we're done.
Well, yeah, that'd be... Well, I don't see... The NFL is... Like, a lot of the owners like Trump, right? The business
They like
guys.
Him. There's yeah. all the... there's the chatter behind doors, though, that, like, they don't want to piss him off, though. Kraft doesn't want to anger him and give him more fuel for his for 2020, but he's not he. I don't think Kraft would vote for him a second time. Like, I'm sure he did the first time, but
well, how about this? My position is that the owners, not Jerry Jones, because Jerry Jones in Dallas is different, but like Kraft, you got to think Belichick's still writing letters to Trump, right? As far as we know, they're still pen pals. I wouldn't be shocked if Brady still has some kind of communication with Trump. I you hear these stories that Trump's still trying to connect with his buddies from back before he became president, that he's still communicating. And we know he's talked to Belichick since he became president. And you wonder if there's something there with Brady, or Brady can't talk to him because of his wife, that he's like kind of on the outs on that. He's got to keep a distance. But you know, publicly, these guys want the position is like the players generally, as a majority, hate Trump, right? The NFL players. So if they take a pro Trump stance as owners because it helps them their business, that it hurts them with the players. You know what I mean?
Right. But, so maybe Chris Long will buy all of them tickets.
Well, there you go. Perfect. Why not? Sign him up. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll take some more phone calls. If you would like to be part, there is a line open for you. You can join the chatter, the late night conversation here as we crossed over. We're almost at 12:30 here. The number 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. We will get to the latest on the Gronk and his situation. We'll do that. And also, a player who could leave the Red Sox has said not only does he not want to leave the Red Sox, he would like to remain with the Red Sox for the rest of his professional baseball career, which I believe is not good for your negotiation when you're trying to get more money. But we will get to that as well. We'll mix that in, and we will do it next.
Playoffs.
How much does it change when you have no Gronk? And really, perhaps you won't have what you used to have if he does come back.
First of all, Gronk's a great player, and Gronk is extremely tough and hardworking. I know he's working hard at his rehabilitation. We're all hoping that when he comes back, he's the same player that he always is. And when he comes back,
that's really up to the trainers to decide. So in the meantime, you know, what can we do for the players that are out on the field trying to play better and earn these victories is do a better job in our areas and focus on what we need to. So when I think about myself, you know, I think about how I need to play and what things I need to improve to give our team a better chance to win.
All right, that's how it sounded. The weekly interview, not only does Tom come on every morning, every Monday morning after Patriot games with Kirk and Callahan, but he hangs out with his BFF, Jim Gray, and sounded a little different there at the beginning, though. It's like his voice changed a little bit. But Tom Brady, age 41, the vultures are out. The sharks smell blood in the water. I mentioned the stat. If you look at the advanced statistics, the next-gen stats for Tom Brady this season, if you break it down, there are 12 areas of the field. And of the 12 areas of the field, each quarterback's graded in these 12 areas. Tom Brady is average in 8 of the 12 areas. He is below average in only 1, and he is above average in 3 of the areas. So that's his overall body of work. Now, he's coming off a dreadful performance. The Patriots offense stunk against the Tennessee Titans, and now that's going to linger for the next couple weeks. Does anyone think the Patriots aren't going to come out and beat the New York Jets by 3 touchdowns when they get together? That is inevitable, that is going to happen. The Jets did not fire their coach today, which was a surprise considering the media in New York was all over the fact that there was going to be a change and they were going to go a different direction and all that, but it didn't happen. Let's go to the phones and let's see here. Let's go to Blair in Maine. Who's next? It is late night on WEEI. Hello, Blair.
I just want to say my thoughts and prayers out to everybody with those fires, with the fire that's going on in Thousand Oaks. I hope your home's okay, Ben Maurer. I hope your home's nowhere near the fire that's going on right now.
So Blair, listen, very kind of you, Blair.
Let me hear what you have to say about it, because you probably know a lot about it.
Yeah. Blair, when are you sleeping now, Blair? That's what I would like to know, Blair. Are you like?
Well, I'm staying up for your overnight show because I have something You'll love to hear. So.
Oh, you're saving it. You're not using it here.
Saving it. Nope. Saving it.
Big tease.
But John doesn't listen to the overnight show. John wants to hear it. Can you give me a preview of what it is right now?
Other people can listen. I don't want everybody to know around me. I know some people know that I know, but I don't want to tell everybody. They'll know at 2:00. You have to listen, John, at 2:00.
Yeah. Well, John's got other things to do, though. He's very important here.
Well, I'm not telling the whole world of Maine and Boston and everything. I'm going to let everybody have to listen at 2:00. Sorry.
Did you stumble onto like some political conspiracy or something, Blair?
No. This is a video I bought in Portland, Maine at the
Met. Oh, okay. I know what kind of video then. All right. Hey.
Man, but I'm not putting it out there. I talk to you.
Hold on a second. Blair, let me tell you, John, Blair's the last guy still buying adult movies. You know, most guys just go on the internet to get that. But
so it was a brick building with no windows?
Blair's a traditionalist. My man Blair is a traditionalist when it comes to adult entertainment.
I don't know where to get them now, so I just go to adult movie, you know. Website,
I can't believe they still
Portland,
sell
Maine.
Those, Blair.
Just go to Portland, Maine, Ben Maurer.
All right, that's where you got to go, man.
Buy them.
All right.
They got a CD shop. But, hey, I want to talk about this fire, man. I'm watching the fires just burn right now.
Yeah.
On CNN, they got breaking news about it. Even President Trump's involved in this.
Well, the president's involved in everything, though, Blair. That's usually how that
is. Yeah, I know, but do you see it? It's like just burning. I'm so lucky I'm not living in California right now.
Well, not the whole state.
Fires are ridiculously. Right. I don't know how did it ever start?
I don't think they know how. I think they don't know yet how.
Yeah, I don't know how because that sucks. There's an actor, his house is burned down, right? And then there's also
the Phillies manager
might be burning down right now.
Gabe Kapler.
What's your thoughts?
My thoughts. What are you, Larry King? Your thoughts. Give me your thoughts, please. No, it sucks. Listen, the fires are terrible, Blair, and I do get annoyed though.
I
get annoyed when famous.
It gives me chills.
Well, I get upset when like people make a big deal about famous people. So I feel bad for everybody. Like Gabe Kapler's house, the Phillies manager, the old Red Sox, his house burned down, and all that. But I mean, because they're famous. I feel bad for everybody. There's people that don't have anything that lost with little things they had. So
hey, terrible. Ben, also there's cars are burning down. There's coaches from
I'm aware. Hey, Blair, if you really want to get
everything, I know it's bad, Ben. It's It's the way California is. Do you live in California, Southern California, Northern California? You're going to get these fires. You just don't know how they're going to start. They're just bad.
Okay. Well, so, thank you, Blair.
Good luck to you. Hopefully it doesn't happen
right, thank
to you.
You,
you know? Hopefully
all right.
Stay safe.
Thank you. All right, buddy. I was on YouTube. Some people were sending me videos of people that were driving through the fire. And it was...
Smart.
That would not be an adjective that I would use. That would not be the adjective that I would use. But you know, some of those people did not make it out. Like the video I saw was this woman. I think she was that old, but she was driving through like Malibu. And everything's on fire. It's like driving with the sun around you. And just... It's the kind of stuff that you'd see in a movie that you think, well, that's not really, no one would actually do that. That's
I feel like
not.
People underestimate fire way more than they should.
Yeah. Have you ever been, like, I've been on the highway and there's an accident. You know, like a truck's on fire and you drive by it. You can feel the window, the heat on the window and how hot it is. You know, when you drive by and an accident just happened, there's fire there. Imagine that times like a million with these forest fires. It's just insane, man. It's crazy. All right, let's keep it going on the phones. Let's go. Let's see who's next. Pablo in Providence is next here. It's late night on WEEI. What's going on, Pablo?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
You tell me, man. What's up?
Hey, I'm calling. I wanted to see what you thought of this, you know, idea that I have about Bill Belichick. And, you know, up until a couple of years ago when he had Jimmy Garoppolo, the idea was that Belichick wanted to he wanted to groom the next Tom Brady. But what if after trading, you know, Garoppolo, he's just, you know, going to run Brady to the ground and he's just going to just gut the team when Brady's done. And then he's just going to start a brand new program. That's his challenge, to start from scratch. And that all changed when he traded Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, it's pretty evident with his relationship with Brady that he just really doesn't care about Brady anymore. He knows that the end of the road is there.
You don't think he cares about Brady?
No, I think he cares about Brady, but I think he realizes that Brady's, you know, like he's got a couple of years left at most. And Belichick is intending to stick around for like another 10, 15 years. Would you be that surprised? So he's planning on outlasting Brady by a long time. And Brady's almost irrelevant in his grand scheme, you know?
Well, I don't agree with that, Pablo. The issue with Belichick is you're fighting age at some point, right? Belichick can't keep going forever, and there's also the fact that Josh McDaniels has been widely reported is the coach in waiting for the Patriots. Belichick's 66 years old, so if he's going to coach another 10 years, he's going to be in his mid 70s when he's on the sidelines with the Patriots. I don't think that's realistic to think he's going to be coaching another 10 years.
No, I'm not necessarily even saying he's coaching, but I think he's going to be, you know, I think at some point I agree with you. He's not going to coach anymore, but he's still going to be the man in charge. He's going to be basically.
Yeah, but Pablo.
Yeah.
So you think it'll be like Parcells was at the end, where he was like the executive.
Even more powerful than Parcells, that same model, yeah, but taken to the next level, the Belichick level, and he's just going to dominate in a brand new way. He's going to bring in Josh McDaniels, would be a great coach, but, you know, he'd be starting a brand new way of thinking about things and just revolutionizing the sport once again. That's what his legacy is. That's what he wants his legacy to be.
The stats are for losers.
Yeah. I think you're overthinking this, Bob. Like, I really buy into the conspiracy that Belichick wanted Garoppolo to be the guy, and the people above him, mainly Robert Kraft, was like, now we got to, you know, Brady didn't want Jimmy G hanging around lurking. And I think that's a totally plausible scenario, that if you had to choose between, if you go back a year and you had to choose between Brady at age 40 or Jimmy Garoppolo at his age, you would have taken Jimmy Garoppolo long term. But now there's nothing. I mean, it's to the point, I will predict here as a distant relative of the great Nostradamus that Nathan Peterman, who was released by the Buffalo Bills on Monday night, will work out for the Patriots. How about that? I'm going to make that bold prediction that Nathan Peterman, the much maligned Peterman, will work out for the Patriots. How about that? There you go. Thank you, Pablo. I appreciate that. But anyway, we'll press on, as they say. So the Rob Gronkowski story, we'll talk more about this tomorrow or I guess tonight now because we've crossed over after midnight. But Tom E. Curran chiming in on with Dan Patrick, and he essentially said what other people have also indicated, that this is it. This is the final chapter of Rob Gronkowski as a member of the Patriots, that they will go a different direction. And he made this bold declaration that there's no chance, essentially, that the Patriots will be bringing back Rob Gronkowski next year, which, if you look at the way Gronk has played, is the logical outcome. It's logical to say that that is how this is going to play out. I mean, we'll get more into it later tonight. But if you look at his performance, he's played 7 games this year, hasn't had a touchdown since the first game of the year. It makes sense that there would be a parting of the ways here. And if Gronk even plays in the NFL next year, let's go to let's pause for the cause, as they say, because I am on time, Maller. By the clock, for the clock, plausibly all about the clock. By the way, Joe Kelly, want to point that out. Joe Kelly, he said he wants to stay with the Red Sox for the rest of his career, which I don't know that the Red Sox want him for the rest of his career, but for right now, they're pretty happy. And he expressed his desire to stick around Boston as long as he plays in the major leagues, which I don't believe helps your bargaining position. Don't think that helps. All right, we'll press on here. We will visit the phones, the dreaded phones. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
All right. Well, I think, yeah. I look at Gronk. I think that's a bigger issue here because I wonder, how much longer is Gronk going to play?
I don't think he's going to be back here next year. I don't think there's any way he'll be back here next year. Whether or not he continues playing someplace else remains to be seen. But he's got an $11.7 million cap hit here this year, and they're not getting any return from him. They wanted to get out from under that before this year. He folded his arms and said, I ain't going. Next year it's $12 million. Then whatever he wants to do, they'll put him on a dolly and wheel him out of town if they have to.
Oh, that's not right. You can't put Gronk on a dolly. It's not right. But that was the soundbite I referenced. That was Tommy Curran on the Dan Patrick Show talking about the future of Rob Gronkowski. It's not really going on a limb, considering that the Patriots have, if you look at their history here, paying players a lot of money who are injured and aren't performing. It just doesn't happen. Belichick doesn't do that. And 29 catches this year in 7 games, 1 touchdown, and all the drama. I mean, you remember after the Super Bowl, the 2 things that we talked about were Malcolm Butler, why didn't he play in the Super Bowl? And the other one is Rob Gronkowski going to come back? Is Gronk done? Is it Dunsky for Gronk? Is this it? Those are the 2 things. And here we are, not even a full year later, and Malcolm Butler, although he wasn't terrible in the Titans game against the Patriots, he was terrible the week before, the Monday Night Football game before against the Dallas Cowboys, and he's been one of the least productive defensive backs in the NFL. And Gronkowski, statistically, has not been a dominant force at all as a tight end. All right, to the phones we go, and let's say hi to Weed Man Hippie, who's in Miami, and might I point out, Producer John, no longer homeless. Weed Man, he was briefly homeless while between shows, but he's found a new home. Hello, Weed Man Hippie.
Ben, I love you, and my voice is shot from my long trip. I heard you in New Zealand. I love you. I love New Zealand. Maybe I'll go there. Ben, Boston, listen to me. Ben Maller reached out from California and got me a house. Ben did that. That's the power of radio and the power of the spoken word. And Ben did magic.
Well, don't. Now, Weed Man, don't blow it, Weed Man. Don't destroy the house. Okay? You got to take care of it, okay?
I clean. I'm trying. I love you.
You have to be domesticated, Weedman.
Thank you so much.
You can't be an undomesticated animal anymore. You have to be domesticated.
I'm kind of like an undomesticated animal, Ben.
I understand, but you have to stop. You have to stop doing that, Weedman. You see, you have to.
Ben. Eli Manning. He's got a lot left. Listen to me.
No, he doesn't.
Eli's still. He's a champion.
No, stop. Stop. Stop with that champion nonsense. Eli Manning is done.
On that last drive, Manning was 6 of 9 for 69 yards.
If somebody gets off to a quick start against me in a racquetball game, I give it up and I want to start the next game. So when Eli gets off to a bad start in the season, he just wants it to be over and start the next season.
Stop defending Eli. He stinks. You want him? I wouldn't want him on.
He's bad. It means he's bored.
He's bored? What?
Yes. When he gets the talent, he will step up.
He has plenty of talent.
He's still got it.
He's not going to be the Giants quarterback this year. He'll be the Broncos quarterback or pick some.
Dolphins. The Dolphins need a quarterback.
There you go. You can stay with you.
Chris Gronk.
What? With Gronk. Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski, come to Miami. They love it in South Beach.
Yeah, you could be roommates with all those guys. Eli, Gronk.
I am to be roommates with Gronk.
All right, you give me a headache. I got to thank you. Go away. Thank you. It's the dulcet tones of Weed Man. Yeah, he was homeless, and another listener to the overnight show, John, offered to give him a place to stay.
Wow.
Yeah. Would you ever offer your home? And he's married. The guy's not like, if it was like a single guy, I'd be like, okay, you're a single guy. Kind of be fun to hang out with Weed Man. He's a party, but.
But he's living in the guy's house?
Yeah, he's like living at the dude's house.
In-law apartment or something?
I'm not sure the setup, but he's the guy's like married and Weed Man's got like part of the house. It's like his, I guess it must be like a side set up like a not a basement, not a basement's there, but some kind of side room. Yeah, it's crazy. So anyway, all right. Thanks to you, John. Good job by John, a John Anderson production, and the full late night edition. The full effect of late night will be tonight. We have full 3 hours. No game, no preemption by any kind of games. No covering up. So we'll be on at 10 o'clock all the way till 1 a.m. We can do a deeper dive on the state and times of one Rob Gronkowski, and I have a feeling that'll be talked about a little bit later today as the reaction to what Tom Curran had to say about Gronk's future with the Patriots, and I'm sure there'll be some more bombshells to come out here in the coming days and whatnot, so we'll dive into all of that. And thanks to, again, John, thank you. Got my overnight show coming up over at Fox in a little bit, but keep it locked right here on WEEI. Have a good night.